With prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for the opportunity to gather together and to delve into your word. We just thank you, Lord, that in these critical times that you are revealing your word to our hearts and to all those who are seeking you from the position of a heart wholly given, you are absolutely elevating them in their thinking, renewing our minds. And we just thank you and praise you for that, Father. We just give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Now, no longer can I open a teaching without mentioning or reading Luke 10:27. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Now, as I've talked about before, God calls that the divine requirement. And we've talked at length and in past conferences about the fact that the entire Word of God, the entire plan of redemption is based upon that Scripture. So therefore, every Christian needs to have a deep understanding of the fact that the Father wrote this Word and He established His plan based on the fact that our hearts would be wholly given to Him. And that is becoming much more evident day by day. Turn over to Ephesians 3. I just want to reestablish these things because these are absolute principles. And if we are going to be the remnant, if we are going to walk as those with both feet in the kingdom, then we are going to have our hearts established in the principles of God's Word. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. That's very important. Strengthened with power. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. And again, I've spoken on this before, but it's very important to understand that if we are going to comprehend what's going on in this last hour, and we're going to understand the completeness of the Father's plan, we are going to have to be rooted and grounded in love. And in being rooted and grounded in love, then we will maintain a pure heart. And therefore, in Matthew 5:8, we talked about the fact that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But in this last hour, there are only going to be two groups of people in the earth, and that will be those who see and those who don't. And those who don't are going to be in a mess of trouble. Turn over to 1 John 3. Now, I'm going to go through these scriptures, and then I'm going to leave quite a bit of time at the end, perhaps, for comments or questions. But I'll get through these. 1 John 3, starting in verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. It's a very, very important word in this last hour. Now, we're not talking about confidence the way the world talks about confidence. Confidence in the flesh is just simply self-assuredness. But our confidence, of course, is in Christ, in the Word, and it's God-assuredness. And that's something, as we go on to see in these scriptures, we're going to need to have to carry on. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. Now, it's extremely important. It's written in Romans 8 that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's extremely important that if we are going to maintain godly desire and motivation in every area of our lives, that we have to have a clear conscience before God. And the fact is that as we put His Word first, then we are going to be able to maintain that pure conscience. We are going to be able to hear. We're going to be able to see spiritually. And this is extremely important. We've talked at great length about the importance of each member in the body. Now we're about to see the reality of that come into the church. And, we of course have been blessed here in Kremling to see what's been going on over the months and over the years. But now we're going to have a really good opportunity to experience rapid acceleration in God's plan. You know, I was thinking the other day about all that's happened, not just since September 11th, but that certainly has accelerated things. You know, really, in a very, very clear way, it's just been a definite confirmation of everything that God has given us as far as vision concerning Kremlin and different other environments throughout the body of Christ, as far as cities of refuge, environments of the Holy Spirit. So again, we should be rejoicing, and I really believe that those who do have eyes to see and ears to hear are rejoicing. Not, of course, in the unrighteousness that the devil's pulling off, but of course we are rejoicing in the righteousness of God and His righteous plan to reveal all things and to expose all things apart from Christ. 1 John 4:18, there's no need to turn there. In the Amplified says, "There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete or perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror." Now, you remember that it was some time ago now, the Father spoke to me and he said that in the days ahead, if my children maintain fear, then they are going to subject themselves to attacks by a higher group of demonic spirits known as terror and panic. And we know, we've seen examples of that, I'm sure. One that comes to mind was thinking back to an old World War II movie. And there was always some guy that just absolutely, you know, got overwhelmed by panic or terror when he was out on the front lines. And, you know, he apt to turn around and start shooting his own men, that sort of thing. So, you know, to a degree, we've seen the results of different phobias in people. Sometimes people are afraid of water. They're afraid of anything that Satan can get his hooks into. And it becomes a very irrational fear. And actually, if under the circumstances that Satan creates, if they allow that, then their hearts will begin to fail. And, of course, their minds will begin to cease to function the way they need to function. So these are all the things that are happening as things escalate in the spiritual warfare. And we can really draw a very, very clear parallel between what's going on in the natural as far as the church goes. We know that there's a great war against terrorism right now. Well, it's God's plan for the church to absolutely turn and put Satan to flight in stark terror. And that's the way it will be as far as the glorious church goes and their dealings with the devil. Unfortunately, as he's fleeing, he's going to be trying to take down whatever is in his path that he can. So initially, it's very, very important that every Christian come to that place of being rooted and grounded in love, because that's the place where that perfect love, or that full-grown love, casts out all fear. Continuing on in 1 John 4:18, "For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection." Now let's keep in mind that, of course, we're striving in and by the Spirit to get to that place of an absolute love, or an absolute faith working through an absolute love. But it's the Father's desire for each one of His children to be in that place, first and foremost. We're still catching up with Him. It's His desire, because He knows that is the place of absolute protection for us. Not only absolute protection, but also absolute provision to carry out His will in every facet. You see, as a great number of believers begin to come into this position, then what we're going to see, again, is this corporate unity in the body, but also we're going to see the release of the corporate anointing and power that God desires to release. We have not seen anything yet. We, at best, we've seen glimpses, and those have been glorious at times. But this is a full-out onslaught on Satan and his strongholds, and we must be ready. Not that God doesn't love each one of His children equally, but only those who are ready will enter into the next phase. And so that is completely important to remember. 1 John 5, verse 13. "These things I have written to you who believe..." That's a very important word also in these days. "In the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life," or know that you have Zoe abiding within you. That is extremely important, because that is the character of God. That is the very person of God Himself. And from that, of course, comes every aspect of His character. you know, again, 1 Peter talks about becoming, or 2 Peter talks about becoming partakers of the divine nature. Verse 14, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. So the importance of having confidence before God, having a clear conscience, is twofold initially. One is that we will be able to hear him and know his will. And from that point, we will have confidence to continually ask according to his will, and then have that deep assurance that what we've asked will come to pass. Now, in the past, as we've all been learning to walk by faith, we've seen times and seasons of God's will, and of course, we all know about the great intercession that has gone forth, particularly in the last 20 years, just to bring the church to the place she's in right now. But see, ultimately, God has an extreme plan of ruling and reigning for the church, even in the midst of our situations now, in the midst of our enemies now. And the final scripture I do will be from Joshua, and I'll show you that it's God's will for us to take authority no matter where we're led or no matter where we go in our walk. And that's, so it's important for every believer to be walking in the fullness of God's power so that they can walk in the fullness of the authority so that the captives can be set free. And not just set free, but set free and restored and established in their kingdom position, baptized in fire to turn on the devil and take the revelation knowledge, regardless of how little, and absolutely destroy him. Now you can begin to understand why the devil is afraid, because this entire plan is about to unfold. And again, the vision that always comes back to me in this place is the one of the snowball on top of the mountain. And it started out as just a regular snowball. But the way the Father showed it to me was that once that snowball began to roll down the mountain, it would not only gain size, but it would also gain momentum. So you can count on the fact that in our remaining time, this dispensation, we are going to be absolutely in the middle of a glorious conflict that is destined to put the devil to flight in stark terror, but also to cause him to drop or let go those captives that are in our path. So it's extremely it's extremely important then to come into that place of being rooted and grounded in love. I mean, the very fact of what the world is going through now, they need to see the love of God. He's been so misunderstood for so long. And, of course, that's translated into great misunderstanding in the midst of how they view the church, and for good reason. I mean, we can understand the hypocrisy and the religion that has kept people from portraying or representing the living Christ and, of course, the Father himself. Okay, verse 16. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Now, it's extremely important. It's extremely important to realize that when it talks about the evil one does not touch him here, God is, we know that our God is a God that looks on the heart of man. And it's very important to understand that as we're learning, as we're walking faith to faith and glory to glory, that sometimes fear will attempt to come in. And to the flesh, of course, it seems like we are in a position of wavering. And indeed, sometimes we do take a step back. But the fact is, God looks upon the heart. And when we are rooted and grounded in love, then we can come into the place of abiding in that love, and that's the place where the evil one can't get to our heart. Because you see, if he gets to the heart, and you know, through a continued thought process on one of his lies, and then of course the things we speak out of our mouth, then of course he can influence us off the path or paths of righteousness And of course, if a person comes to that place, they're in a place where instead of acknowledging God in all their ways, they're acknowledging the lie that the devil's trying to feed them. And it's extremely important, because in this last hour, and again, this is coming down to absolutes. I mean, people aren't going to stumble into the pit unknowingly. This for the evil one to get in and actually begin to influence the heart of a believer, that believer needs to be in some form of willful sin and rebellion against God over a period of time. But, you know, that's not the people I'm talking to here. But you are going to run into some people that you're going to have an opportunity to minister to. And it's extremely important that now absolutes are coming to the forefront now in all things. Again, in Malachi, the prophet talked about the fact that in the last of the last hour, or the last days, we would once again be able to distinguish between those who truly love God and those who don't. So obviously there must have been, and also those who truly serve God and those who don't. So obviously the prophet was foretelling what God knew would happen. There would be a falling away. And there would be come a time in history, even in the history of the church, where we wouldn't be able to distinguish who the true servants were, really. And of course, that's the case for the world right now. They really don't know, but they're about to find out. Because God is going to show himself strong on the behalf of all those who are walking uprightly before him. Turn over to 1 Peter 5. This whole thing about fear is so important now. It's, you know, those people who are truly seeking God and really desiring the fullness of his will for their life, they're not the ones running from this at all. They are in obedience to obedience, allowing the Holy Spirit to confront whatever is in them in order that he can replace that ground of fear with the very love or presence of God himself, which of course is continually shed abroad in the heart of the person who puts the word first and remains in fellowship with God. In 1 Peter 5, a lot of these verses are very, very close to my heart, because when I started serving God, I was in total fear. I mean, I just absolutely coming from a place of total fear, totally controlled by the devil to do his will, and, you know, but yet had realized in almost an instant, you know, the fact that the path I was on was destructive, not only to myself, but to all those who I was involved with at the time. And it was a real eye-opener. So he began to reveal himself to me through the scriptures. And later on, we're going to go through some Psalms, and we're going to, all Psalms of David, and we're going to begin to understand just exactly the process that God brings us through to come into a knowledge of him. I mean, look at David. I mean, he was sustained throughout everything, anointed when he was young to be king, and yet through all those years, he was everything from discarded to sought after to be murdered. So, you know, he came to really learn what it meant to depend on God and to truly realize that God was his all-sufficiency. And that's where every Christian needs to come to in this hour. I mean, the fact is that in North America, up until this time, well, I'll tell you this story. I remember back in 83, I had a very strong affection for China. And actually, it was so strong at one point, I actually really thought that's where I was going to end up at the time. As a matter of fact, the people used to kid me a bit about that, because I was really in intercession for China. And, of course, Watchman Nee was used as a great influence in my life. And so I understood somewhat about the history and the transition of the revelation of the body of Christ that came into China in the 20s and 30s and 40s, right up to the communist takeover in the late 40s, leading to the imprisonment, of course, of the godly people that were there. But nonetheless, the seeds were planted, and they are still bearing fruit today. But, you know, I was thinking about China, and I just thought, no, that's the hardest place in the earth. That's where I want to go. You know, I was young and on fire. I still am, but I had to find out what God's will was. Not so young, but I'm on fire. Yeah, anyway. No. Well, I thought I'd say it before you did. But anyway, I was praying about that, and I said, Father, I want to go to the hardest place on earth. And he said, you're in it. I didn't understand that initially, and he was talking about North America. And of course, over the years, I've come to understand that in our society, it's really one that is geared to people seeking pleasure or comfort. Yeah. And that's not a good environment for a Christian. And consequently, the remnant that God has raised up in this last hour in North America have had to go through different trials and tribulations, dealing with the various fears or whatever would keep them from the fullness of God's will. I mean, we didn't have people out seeking to murder us or things like that. But so consequently, the people who did make the decision made the decision, and there was a ripping away or a tearing away from the normal fabric of society, particularly the family structure. I mean, I know there's many people here with testimonies in this, but when there's a calling out and a preparation for the glorious call that's on the church in this last hour, there was a ripping away. There was things that each and every person had to give up for the sake of the kingdom to come into a position where they would come to know God and allow Him to do the work necessary to prepare them perfectly for what we're called to do in this last hour. And I'm going to touch on that scripture a little bit later. But the importance of realizing now what's happening in North America, one thing this attack in September has caused people to do is to come to grips with where they place their security. You know, and people who have maintained fear always place their security at a level where they're comfortable. But of course, as far as the kingdom goes, that's totally useless. And in times of pressure, then all of a sudden, the person has nothing. I mean, a person could have hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank, but should the stock market, or when the stock market crashes and the economy goes south, there goes their security. You know, and you can go anywhere else. You could have emotional security, even in your church setting, your denominational setting. Down it goes, you know, when things come forth. But, and again, we'll see this from some of the scriptures in the Psalms, how God sustained David and taught him to trust Him and actually brought him to the point where if, no matter what happened, it didn't make any difference, he was still rooted and grounded in that love and dependence upon God. And not only was he sustained, and this is the key, really, if you want to get down to what we're talking about, the glorious church and the Father's plan, is that when we're rooted and grounded in love, what happens is the vision or the revelation that God's given us will come to pass. The only thing that can stop it is fear. And the only fear that can stop it is the fear in ourselves. That's it. So consequently, what I rejoice in these days, and even in the past few years, God is bringing believers to a point where they are trusting in Him and walking in love, and that now God is bringing together those believers and the corporate strength that's coming. Each one of those believers has a vision, and so the corporate vision is expanding, and it's about to accelerate at a pace we can't even comprehend. And that's why we're in these days, why we so much need to allow God to deal with any ground of fear in us and come into that perfect trust of Him, because He is ready to release His vision to a greater degree. He's ready to release and bring to pass the visions that He's put on each heart, the revelation He's put on each heart. And this will cause an explosion in the body of Christ. And it will bring forth the finances necessary to do any of those visions, no matter how big or how small. And these are the things. So we just have to be clear. We have to understand, you know, what God is saying and what He has said. Allow Him to expand that continually. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time." I remember talking at conference about that, this whole scripture about God exalting us. We don't have to take any fear about, you know, Him making us a star. It just simply means that He will give us the platform to impart whatever revelation He's given us, whatever vision He's given us, whatever purpose He's trained us for. That's all it means. And so those who have humbled themselves before God will be exalted or given the platform to release all that God has imparted to them. And, of course, those who have held to their own vision, who have held to self-desire, will be humbled. And will be their platform will be taken away. It's built on wood and hand stubble anyways, and it will be taken away. Because God it's His purpose now and His plan to really exalt the church and give the true church, the glorious church, the clear platform to represent God as He is. That is our job. To represent God as He actually is. And when people see that, only two things are going to happen. One, they're going to repent big time and come into the fullness of God's plan for their life, or they're going to have to run in stark terror. But either way, it's going to and they'll be brought to that point of absolute decision. Verse 6 again. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Cast, isn't it amazing to me? I just can't get by that verse. Even with the great revelation coming forth of the establishment of a true fivefold ministry, true working fivefold ministry, there are still people, even with the revelation, who have the desire to take the ball and run with it. And, you know, we know that God is establishing glorious connections throughout the earth. And, of course, when I say glorious connections, I mean something that is totally established by the Holy Spirit. That's of utmost importance. One of the other areas that's so important for the believer to be rid of fear is the fact that... I just lost that. I'll come back to it. I better go on here. That he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, or firm in your love, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. You see, the onus, God, I mean, it's so clear in the Word that God himself has taken the task of empowering us to whatever he's commanded us to do. And so it's really a very subtle lie of the enemy, if he can get it in there, to cause us to strive in our own strength to be holy. It's impossible. Yeah. We've all tried it. We all should know that it's impossible by now. And so it's extremely important, again, that in this hour we come to realize that God is going to expose everything that's apart from Christ, or everything that's rooted and grounded in pride, and he's going to exalt or give platform to everything that's rooted and grounded in love. Okay, let's turn over to Psalm 1. This was an interesting study. I started out in Psalm 1, and I mean, I could have had 400 scriptures. I know Janine wouldn't go for that, though. Not in one 60-minute teaching, anyways. Yes, I know. I saw that. That was good. Brady. Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. See, there's only two counsels that we can have. And that's godly wisdom and counsel, and that is in the lies of the evil one. And that's it. No matter in what form they come in, a counsel that's apart from God is ungodly counsel, and we need to avoid that. That's why Jesus said, take heed what you hear. And it's extremely important. I mean, as now as the gospel is being preached, the gospel of the kingdom is being preached to every nation, so too are the airwaves being flooded with more and more and more filth. And so consequently, we as Christians need to not only just avoid the obvious things, but the subtle things, because it's either the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Antichrist. It's come down to that, and there are very subtle ways, even in religion, of course, in so-called Christian religion, there are very many subtle things coming forth which appear very good. That is the danger of the age. Everything that is Satan's attempting to accomplish through that spirit looks good. It looks good to the flesh. But to the spiritually discerning, it is seen for what it is. It's pride. It always promotes self. And it always is anti the power of God or the anointing of God. So halfway through verse 1, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law or the word or the principles of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Now, a lot of these scriptures really paint the image, and we're going to go into Philippians there in a bit, but it really paint the image of a very, very steadfast, immovable position. And that's exactly what it means when Paul wrote rooted and grounded in love. See, it's grounded, but it's rooted also. And, of course, we're talking about a really strong root system. Anybody who's ever tried to pull out even a small stump can realize the extensive root system that's there and the sturdiness that's there. And so it's so important for us to come into that position spiritually in these days, because again, these spirits of terror and spirits of panic, which Satan is going to try to paralyze and immobilize the people of God, and that his main purpose is to stop people seeking first the kingdom, to come into a position of compromise, so that they, because if he gets them in that position, that he's got them blinded, and you don't have any trouble with blind people. You know, he can avoid them, he can control them, and so on. We're going to talk a bit about control later on, because control doesn't just begin. It begins in the individual believer. You see, wherever there's a ground of fear in us, then we have control over our own lives. Now, of course, those who are seeking God come to the place where they acknowledge that fear and they hand it to God. When you spend time in fellowship with him and you spend time in his word, those things become evident. Because if you truly have a desire to obey God, that next step of obedience will always be to confront anything in us that is apart from Christ, that is a potential ground of fear. I remember in the beginning, I mean, God would give me certain instructions and I'd jump up and down and go and do it right away. But other ones were hitting right at the deepest ground of fear in me, and I was very hesitant at times. I won't tell you how long, but very hesitant at times to face the things. But the one thing that was common was that when I did finally face it, whether it was 2 weeks or 6 months, I went, why did I spend 6 months running around, you know, being controlled by the devil and just worrying and all these things about whatever the situation was, and God just took it away like that. But of course, that was all part of learning to trust God. You know, I mean, because when you go out and you step out in faith, you know, sometimes you feel like that marshmallow on the end of the stick over a fire, and it looks like at the very least you're going to be ashamed or humiliated or rejected or whatever. And sometimes you are, or eaten. Sometimes you are, but the fact is, and again, we're going to look at this scripture later on, but God is there. Not only is he our vindication, but his power, his peace, his love comes in and lifts us up over that. And eventually, as the Christian is faithful to move from faith to faith and obedience to obedience, then we come into that place of an absolute trust. And as we look at some scriptures further on, we're going to come to understand that's where not only where God wants us, because that's the place of intimacy with him, but it's also the place of empowerment for everything that we're called to do in our remaining time in this dispensation. We've definitely turned a major corner. I mean, that's obvious to everybody. But now is the time of final preparation, for the army is about to move. And it's going to move with great accuracy and great power. And it's extremely important for us to be ready. Okay. Verse 4, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Again, absolutes. Psalm 3. It's very important to get this revelation of what God is saying through David, what the Holy Spirit is saying through David. I mean, he was set about by adversaries. You know, Saul sought to murder him for a number of years. And many other things. It wasn't just that. I mean, he had problems with the Philistines and different things. But he learned this in his time with God and in his preparation. And when he did finally become king, he was perfectly prepared. And so in being a type and symbol of the true church being established and coming into rule, we too will be perfectly prepared to accomplish everything that God has created us for. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. That's an amazing statement. You know, that brings to mind the story of Elisha, and when he was standing there, and of course the armies had come to destroy him, and he was with his right-hand man, and God opened their eyes up, or the servant's eyes up, and he had that revelation that our protection in God is absolute. In other words, if you're in the will of God and doing what God wants you to do, it will come to pass. These are all things that the church is getting a revelation of, and it's extreme. We're going to walk in places that we heretofore thought impossible. So it's extremely important that we have these revelations. Psalm 4. Some of these scriptures are so close to my heart, because the Father began to reveal certain things to me and really began to speak to me, And many of these scriptures I meditated every day. And some days were glorious, and I could spend 2 hours on one verse. And other days I would go through the whole collection and wonder why I was doing it. But I certainly know now. You know, it's, again, that whole thing of renewing of our mind. So Psalm 4, verse 4. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. You know, it just, again, this whole area of trust, it's so important, because we come to trust either in our own understanding, and that would be classified as those things that mindsets the devil has established throughout the years, the different input that we've had through our five physical senses and in our experience, or we're going to learn to trust God with all our heart, in which case our total dependence and our acknowledgement will be on the revelation that He has revealed to us. See, again, these are absolutes. And in this last hour, we're going to see those who have revelation and those who don't. And because one thing that goes down in the process of receiving revelation is self-desire. And our desire for God and for the establishment of His will becomes first and foremost. And, of course, that continually allows any self-desire to be exposed. And in that process brings us to the place that we talked about in 1 John, which when we ask something, the desires of our heart, we know we have the will of God. And so we can have that assuredness to go forth in courage, great courage and boldness. Let's see, did I finish verse 8? Oh, yes. Verse 6, many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, O Lord. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For thou alone, O Lord, dost make me to dwell in safety. You know, it's, again, I'm not going to go into this at great depth, but again, in this country, in this continent, but in this country particularly, there's been what's come forth, a bit of a bomb shelter mentality. And the point in this is that in this earth, and as we walk, because we're not to hide in bomb shelters or hide in caves as Christians, we need to have a revelation of the fact that He alone is our refuge. He alone can make us to dwell in safety regardless of it. It is so important to have that revelation, because we are not a church that will walk in fear. We will be a sign and a wonder to the world when they see the peace that passes all understanding, when they see the love that surpasses all knowledge, when they see no fear, because that's something they have, and that's something they need to get rid of. Fear is a horrible thing. It's been a long time since I experienced fear the way that I did, you know, back a number of years ago, but I could still remember. You know, I don't remember the exact, but I know it was torture, and it was very, very difficult. And of course, now the way there's always been so many escapes in our society, you know, and obviously none of them are positive. But now none of those will do any good. What they need is the love of God and the peace that passes all understanding. Psalm 9, verse 1. This is another key principle. And again, it comes from fellowship with the Lord. It comes from having a revelation of who He is and who we are in His sight. Verse 1 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. Now that is extremely important. That's something I had to learn to do. I mean, it's very hard to thank the Lord, you know, in the beginning when you're persecuted, rejected. People are doing all sorts of mean things to you, and yet you know you yourself are walking at that particular time in righteousness, but of course that's how you learn to walk in love. Because if you take your righteousness in Christ and exalt it over somebody else in your own strength, that's self-righteousness, which of course is a more dire sin than the person that was attacking you. So it's very, very important that in our time of fellowship with God that we learn by His power to give thanks to Him in all things. It's a very powerful thing. I really... Honestly, you know, we talk about praise and worship, and there is such a thing as what you would call a sacrifice of praise. We just praise God of faith, regardless of what we feel. I understand that. But really, when you practice thanksgiving, what happens is, deep down in the depths of your heart, that thanksgiving translates into an absolute, or continued thanksgiving, translates into an absolute dependence on God, and that is where true praise and spontaneous worship rises up and releases the absolute power of God and worship. So it's extremely important to practice giving thanksgiving to God. I mean, if you're really acknowledging God in all your ways, if we are, and he's directing our paths, then we need to be giving thanks. If we're acknowledging, you know, our own understanding and operating in our own way, then we're going to get what we deserve. But I mean, nonetheless, the important thing is to give thanks to the Lord, and there's great power in that. And again, well, let's turn over to Philippians 4. It's so important. You know, I really, in my life, when I first, the two things that Satan held me and keep me out of my call and destroying everything around me was that I was a complainer, and also that I blamed everybody else, you know, for my shortcomings. Of course, I didn't think they were shortcomings at the time. But the point is, you know, God enlightened me in a hurry. And from there, then, of course, he began to establish his work in my life. But those were two strongholds, and he just totally obliterated them. And from that time forth, he really taught me to be thankful to him. I mean, there's so much to be thankful for, of course, we know. But in each day, we can be thankful for the opportunity just to have a place or a position where we can actually do somebody some good. I mean, out in the world, I mean, people are trying to help people and feed the poor and do everything, but it always ends up in a mess. I mean, thank God for every righteous work, but this whole human effort is not getting the captive set free. And we need to be a church that's truly operating in the power of God. So Philippians 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Again, we're talking about an attitude of heart. That if it's continued, allows the believer to accurately pray, accurately request, accurately reflect the heart of the Father in their words, and of course that's his desire. It's extremely important to realize that, you know, we may have a revelation of something that God's giving us to pray, but, you know, until the fullness of time comes and that thing is answered, we're trying to catch up to God. He's releasing his will because he wants it. We need to catch up with him. In wanting it equally, I really firmly believe that's exactly the time when the prayer or the answer to prayer is manifested fully, is when we come into perfect agreement with God. Now, he's got that all figured out. Some prayers come to pass just like that, and other ones are a little longer. Although, I will say this, that now things are going to accelerate. And the more that people come into an absolute trust of God and reflect his heart by speaking forth accurately what he's placed there, we're going to see them come to pass. And so we need to be ready. This is a rapid escalation coming, a large leap in the Spirit. Verse 7, "And the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You do realize that when you pray accurately the heart of the Father, it's his responsibility to bring it to pass. Why do we have the peace that passes all understanding? Because we know that we've prayed something that he's totally responsible for. Yes, we need to walk, continue believing and walk faith by faith and obedience to obedience. But there's where that assurance comes from. When you pray something that's the will of God, you don't have to be concerned about when it's going to come to pass or how it's going to come to pass. That should be settled now. Bringing every thought captive to the original revelation, God will certainly expand that. But there doesn't need to be any worry after we've prayed. And believe me, God taught me this because my prayers, when I began to pray for the church, again in late 83 and particularly the summer of 84, he said, "I want you to begin to intercede for the establishment of the glorious church and for godly leadership in that church." And this is not an exaggeration, every prayer I prayed went totally backwards, big time. I mean, I would pray something concerning the glorious church and I would see religious spirits jump out of places that I didn't even know they existed. And so I learned to walk by faith. I learned to walk in love with the people who are being used. But the fact was, now I understand God's wisdom in that. But now God has raised up a people who are hearing him and speaking what he would have them speak. and we're going to begin to we are establishing things in the spirit, we're going to see the physical manifestation of many things. And again, that importance of being rooted and grounded in love is that we need to be able to see and comprehend the magnitude that is coming. We need to be able to receive the blessings of God and be walking in the Spirit, because the flesh can't receive the blessings of God. And of course, in this day, won't even be in a position to know what the blessings of God are or consider them blessings. But we will be a people who are able to, whose hearts are enlarged, and we're able to receive the fullness of what God has, so that we can impart the fullness of who He is and what He desires to do. That we should be a church that's seeking after maximum fruit in everything we do and say, no matter how small, no matter how big, and to move, of course, in pinpoint accuracy. Because God has a plan, and He's not sloppy about it. He never has been. And of course, it's going to become very clear now what He wants to do, and He's even releasing that now. Okay. Psalm 15, verse 1. O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. There are so many principles in this. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Again, the image that was portrayed in Psalm 1 about a tree beside the waters and firmly rooted and grounded. And see, we are going to be a people who are walking in that steadfast peace of God, and in a position where we are not influenced by the spirit of fear or terror or panic, which of course leads to all manner of confusion and different things. We are going to be a people who have a very deep God assuredness abiding within us. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law or the word or the principles of the Lord are perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. See, you see again, you know, I talked about in Philippians, we talked about rejoicing the Lord always. You see how it's His power. When we give His word preeminence in our lives and we spend time in intimate fellowship with the Father and His word, these things are imparted to us in that time. And built on and added to through many other means. But certainly in this time, this quiet time with God, these are the things that are imparted to us. And the empowerment comes to walk in perfect obedience. It's there. And of course, in this hour, those people who don't spend time with the Lord in intimate fellowship will not be rooted and grounded properly in love and won't be able to see. But we will have the message to take to them. It's a very simple thing. All it means is one letting go of whatever self-desire they're holding to and casting that desire completely on God to know Him and to love Him. Psalm 23:4. Again, there's a lot here, but did I say so? Oh, Psalm 23, yes, 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. We have to come to the revelation that He is with us. In the beginning, when I started out, it didn't seem like for vast periods of time that He was with me. Oh, I knew He was because He said He was. But I didn't have that, you know, because it wasn't affecting the physical senses, you know, that type of thing at times. But He had to teach me that that's not the way He comes in. He comes in from the Holy Spirit into our spirit and makes Himself known to us. So, you know, these are scriptures that need to be meditated on. You've got the outline here, but really you should go over these scriptures. Psalm 25, verse 12, says the secret counsel or intimacy is when it means the secret, that's what the reference says. The counsel or intimacy of the Lord is for those who fear or reverence Him, and He will make them know His covenant. again, another element of coming into his presence and fellowshipping with him, he will make us know his covenant. That we need to know that. We are a church that's called to walk in the fullness of our covenant in Christ, or the fullness of our inheritance in Christ. And consequently, because we're going to need everything. Again, there's two aspects to that. Number one, we need the fullness of God's provision. But number two, the Father, in honoring the precious sacrifice of Jesus at the cross and honoring the precious blood, will make sure that everything comes into play. It's the way it is. And so those two things run hand in hand, and they're both geared to absolutely obliterate the devil. Psalm 26, you've got the reference there, but it says in Psalm 26, I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Without wavering. Now, again, God's not looking at the flesh. He's looking at your heart. And at one point in my life, I got to the place where I said, Lord, I just felt like I was to the right, to the left, to the right, to the left. And I just thought, you know, I've done nothing but waver for 20 years. He said, you haven't wavered at all. It was I mean, that was a shocking thing when he said that. But, and then he showed me that you look at the heart. In other words, no matter how bad it got, you pick yourself back up and you say, okay, Father, I just want to do your will. And that's what God honors. So he doesn't look at wavering as, oh, well, we missed it here, we missed it there. Wavering is when you move, again, allow the evil one to get in there and influence your heart thinking, and that of course, takes you into a place of wavering. And in this last hour, those who waver in that way may not come back into it. It's a very precarious position. We need to have both our feet established on the rock of revealed knowledge. Psalm 27, read the whole psalm. But it starts off, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense or refuge of my life. Whom shall I dread? There's a question every Christian has to answer in the heart. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible, because God really, read the whole psalm. God really did a work in me. You know, he's asking that question. Until I could answer, nobody, then, you know, I knew there was still ground of fear. Now in Joshua 1, I'll just close with this. It says, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then he talks about meditating in the word day and night. Then you shall have success. Then you shall prosper. And that's an extremely important word for us, because we really need to understand that it's God's desire for us to take hold of in authority the ground that he's leading us on. We've seen that, of course, with what's happened here in the mountains and the triangles and the different things. But ultimately, that's going to translate into every believer, whether they go into the supermarket or whether they go into wherever they go, they're going to take authority in the Spirit and obey and speak, and if they're told to speak or act in a manner. And this is going to cause the world to see an authority that they've never seen before. The whole thing is that people need to realize is that God can bring us to a position where we will rejoice in the opportunity to exercise faith in the face of any attack of fear or whatever weapon Satan is trying to form against us. And, you know, I just, from my own experience, I mean, I'm amazed at some of the things that have happened. And eventually you come to the place where, regardless of what's happening, you just immediately, okay, what does the Word say? You know, what is, and you immediately dismiss that. And you have to understand that when you speak the Word of God in the face of a satanic attack, it hurts him. Now, he may act or try to act like it doesn't, but it does. It absolutely inflicts spiritual pain upon him. And so, consequently, when the believer comes to the place where they are abiding in love and ready to speak and act in that love at any given moment, it's just a spontaneous reaction to whatever the devil's trying to do. He has to lay back in the weeds somewhat. And, you know, of course, we have to guard our heart with all diligence day in, day out. But the fact is, you know, we are a people who are called to rule and reign with a rod of iron. I believe that begins now. I mean, I'm not just waiting for the millennial kingdom. I believe it begins now. And we need to really begin to establish, again, our hearts in that place where God would have us, so that he can establish us in his heart. Because when we go forth, it's not just a matter of saying, oh yes, I know God's with me and stepping out. He really is with us. That becomes more real to us than our surrounding circumstances. And of course, that makes us an unstoppable force. which in turn is bad news for the devil. Janine, I've seen Janine three times. That's three more times than I've ever seen her before. So, you know, we've now come to the place since these attacks, you know, this whole aspect of fear has come to the forefront, and the fact that we need to be walking in faith and come to a place of absolute faith, so that again, not only are we free from fear, which causes us to be in the wrong position, saying the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing, but we now are in a position where we can minister to people who are bound by a spirit of fear, and whatever that may bring in these coming days, like I said, terror and panic, and they can be set free to know and experience the love of God. So, you know, ever since the attack, I mean, the thing that's been on my heart, I mean, we know these things are going to happen, and they're not pleasant, but in reality, they've been happening throughout many other nations in the world. So consequently, we have to make the adjustment, of course, and we have to guard the gates. We need to be in that position of intimacy with God so that we know what to pray and we can control the enemy and stop whatever schemes he's trying to do. But ultimately now, we have to turn our eyes fully to what we're here for, and that is to be the glorious church and to be a church walking in absolute faith, working through a perfect love. Father, we just thank you that you're preparing us perfectly for the days ahead, and we just, Lord, just increase our vision concerning the glorious church and the cities of refuge and the environments of the Holy Spirit you desire. And I thank you, Father, you are creating a people with no fear. And Father, that we will exercise faith working through that perfect love, that you might be perfectly represented in the Word of God given preeminence once again in His church. In Jesus' name, amen.